This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you were here with Checkpoint Intimates, the weekly gaming show where two members of the Checkpoint team go intimate and go one-on-one on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and I'm joined by Sav.
Hello again.
How are you, Sav?
Pretty good. Been getting intimate a lot lately.
Yeah, and with different people as well. That's just rude.
I'm sorry. I did not say that I would be monogamous with this podcasting business.
No, we're not very monogamous here on Checkpoint.
No.
Especially intimates, where we just go rally between multiple different partners.
Yep, just always teaming up.
But that's okay. Yeah. This week, we're going to be talking about pay-to-win systems in video games, which is like one of those things where you hear that term and you just start cringing. You're like, oh.
You start thinking of mobile games.
Yeah, well, exactly. Mobile games, notorious for pay-to-win systems. Yeah. But basically, what a pay-to-win system is in a video game is where they offer microtransactions that you can pay real money for. And those microtransactions will help you in the game be better than somebody else who is also playing that game.
Like in Candy Crush, how if you're like stuck on a level, you can pay real money to get like, I think it's a lollipop, and it'll like smash most of the level for you.
Yeah.
I don't know, I haven't played Candy Crush in years.
Look, I never played Candy Crush. Was that game multiplayer or single player?
Single player.
Okay. So I think pay to win is like a really bad system in multiplayer games. Sometimes it can work in single player because you're only really screwing over yourself.
Yeah.
But as soon as multiplayer enters into the mix and you're up against these people who might have a competitive advantage against you because they've paid real money for that advantage, that's when stuff gets a little bit sucky.
I mean, that's just capitalism as a model. But in game form.
Yeah, but yeah.
But not Monopoly.
No. So pay to win is a form of, as we just discussed, it's a form of paying real money to get a competitive advantage. And we see this happen quite a lot in free games.
Yeah.
And I think free games have gotten away with it to have a little bit of pay to win because, you know, developers have to make their money somehow, right?
Yeah, it's sort of the thing of like, you're getting all of this free content and, you know, developers need to eat too. But it's sort of like, when does it go too far? When is it too much?
And I think one of the key things of when pay to win goes too far is when it's a full price game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not releasing as a free game that you can play and try out and then pay microtransactions as a method of funding the game. But there's already a funding method in that it's a full price game when it releases.
Yeah.
And the reason we're talking about it and the reason it's in the news right now is because EA's Star Wars Battlefront 2 has been reported to have pay to win systems within the game, which is a really sucky thing to happen to a full price game.
Because they have loot boxes, yeah?
Yeah, so what the game offers are loot boxes, and within those loot boxes, which you can earn with in-game currency or out-of-game currency, you can get stuff like weapons, attachments, credits, star cards, emotes, outfits, and victory poses.
Yeah.
And players discovered this throughout the beta for Battlefront 2, which only just ended. It ran for a little while, and there was outrage. It was like, well, you shouldn't be able to buy weapons and attachments and all these things that help you be better than somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Because then there's no real competition.
No.
It's just who has the most money.
Exactly. Like, obviously, skill will come into it a little bit, but you don't want money to come into it at all. You don't want to jump into a multiplayer competitive game and die because this person has a weapon that you don't have, and that weapon is better than your weapon.
Just like,
that
doesn't feel good.
It is a bit like cheating, yeah. So there's been huge controversy over that, and a lot of people really upset with EA and DICE because of this pay-to-win system within the game. And since then, and this happened this morning, EA has come out and said, actually, we've listened to your feedback, and we're going to change a lot of the systems, or a few of the systems within the game to make it a bit more fair. Specifically, they've said that they're removing weapons, attachments, and credits from loot boxes.
Okay.
And they're only achievable in-game now. You can't buy them out of game. What you can still buy, though, is star cards, emotes, outfits, and victory poses. The last three are cosmetic only and don't affect the game. Star cards do still have an impact on game.
So star cards are, like, sort of a currency in-game?
They're not a currency. They're a way of unlocking content.
Yeah,
as far as I know. As somebody who hasn't played the beta, this is the information I've received.
I know literally nothing about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Ever.
Fair enough. And so what a lot of people have said now that EA have come out and made this statement is that, you know, EA is doing the right thing by moving in this direction, but they haven't actually gone all the way.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to have pay to win in your game, and then you're going to come out and say, we made a mistake, we're going to fix it, fix all the issues. Don't just go to this halfway mark, or don't go 90% of the way and not go the full 100%, because then you're...
But they want money.
They want money, and that's what this comes down to, right? Because when you're paying for cosmetic items, like, a lot of players are willing to do that and fund a game further through cosmetic microtransactions, but there is a subset of gamer who won't be doing that, but will.
People love skins.
People love skins,
yeah.
But there is a subset of gamer who won't buy skins and will purchase things that make an actual impact in the game on a gameplay side of things. So you are losing out of money by not having pay to win in your game.
But I guess the sort of other side of it is, if you're not having... If it's not a full price game, if it's a free game, and you're not having these microtransactions, you've got to put ads in to get anything off it. And people hate that as well.
I feel like that's a mobile only issue, though. I don't remember.
There are like web games that can happen true. On.
That's true. Actually, come to think of it, like, a lot of big games do have ads in them. They're just really small. Like, there'll be like a billboard on a Grand Theft Auto or something like that.
Yeah.
That kind of ad is like fine to me.
Sponsorship things.
Yeah. That kind of ad is fine to me because it's like part of the world building and it's really unintrusive.
Yeah.
But if it's like a pop-up ad and you have to watch this video for 15 seconds, that's like terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want that in any of my games.
And, you know, some mobile games combine both, like, the ads and the microtransactions, and that's a little bit more annoying.
I feel like mobile gaming is this space where you see the crummiest side of development as far as, like, money-grabbing techniques.
You see a lot of unpaid developers, unfortunately, because it costs money to put stuff up on the App Store as well.
Absolutely, and the App Store is so hit or miss, right? Like, if you don't get featured, the chances of a success is really limited. Like,
exactly.
Because people play the games that other people are playing, which is this massive catch-22 where it's like, if nobody starts playing my game, how do I get noticed? Very hard
to break into,
yeah.
And honestly, I do think it's in your benefit if it's not a pay-to-win then, because people are going to talk more favorably about it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I speak to this on a level of somebody who's played games that are both pay-to-win and games that have totally removed the pay-to-win system and have gone 100% legitimate with their microtransactions. Yeah. And I have so much more respect for that second category of games, but at the same time, if you're releasing a free game, like, let's talk about League of Legends, because that's a game I've played for a while. League of Legends has pay-to-win systems in it.
Does it?
Yeah, and it's one of the biggest games in the world. But having said that, I hold no grudge against League of Legends. The pay-to-win systems it has are very, very small.
Yeah.
And once you reach a certain level of skill, they don't count anymore. It's irrelevant. And what I'm talking about specifically is stuff like you can go in and buy champions and stuff, which means that you have these characters that other people might not have yet because they haven't earned enough in-game currency to obtain them. And of course, therefore, having a bigger champion pool means that you can do counters and stuff like that and specifically select your champion based on your team or the enemy's team, which means you might have a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
So that is pay to win, but also the game is 100% free in, you know, as a purchase. And therefore, that system doesn't seem so bad, because once you reach a certain level of skill, that doesn't matter anymore, and you can unlock those champions naturally anyway.
Yeah. What do you think about the loot boxes in Overwatch? How do you reckon they handle it?
I mean, Overwatch, I'll give it credit for the fact that it's cosmetic only. So there's no pay to win in that game. Everyone is on an equal playing field from the moment you start. Having said that, I still don't like microtransactions in a full price game. I don't care if it's cosmetic. I don't care what it is. It feels like double dipping.
Would you say that it's, like, less double-dipping in the case of Overwatch because it's kind of paying also to keep a server online?
Yeah. My rebut to that would be that if you're looking at microtransactions and you're saying, as a developer, these are fantastic, these will fund my game continuously so that we can continue to do updates and all these things, and it's not just this one-time purchase, but there's a constant stream of revenue coming in. If you look at microtransactions that way, then fantastic. Release your game for free and do that. Like, you've got that option, and so many companies have done that and have been really successful with the free-to-play model. So good on them, but Overwatch wanted to do both ways. They wanted that free-to-play model with the constant stream of revenue as well as the $60 initial purchase.
Yeah, but you can earn the loot boxes in the game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think as far as the loot box system goes, Overwatch handles it one of the best ways possible.
Yeah.
As far as it's only cosmetic, you can earn it in-game, you know, whatever.
You get cool voice lines.
There are games that handle microtransactions even better than that. Something like Dota 2, which was a completely free game and also had only cosmetic items in loot boxes. So
these are all online multiplayers as well.
Well, that's typically where microtransactions are found, right? Because single player games, traditionally, people aren't going to spend money on microtransactions because they've got nothing to show off.
I don't know. I think it'd be really interesting if there was things like, you know, this boss is really hard. Give me a dollar and I get to skip it kind of thing for like single players. Like, I'm not saying I support that, but it's interesting to think about.
It's interesting, but at the same time, it's like, if this is such a challenge and you want to provide players with an option to skip it because you want them to see the rest of your content, just give them that option. Why do they have to pay for it?
That's the story mode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always found that interesting because, like, as a games developer, it's like, we don't, you know, it can be hard to make a lot of money and it can be hard to get a game off the ground. And I guess that sort of idea of like this easy sort of way to get money with like cosmetic items and stuff like that would be a great route for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I can see why people do it, right? Because it does take extra time to continually develop a game and provide free updates, which is something that Overwatch does do, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have DLC, it's not selling expansions, it's just doing free updates, and therefore the microtransaction model really does work for them.
Yeah. See, the DLC thing always annoys me because it's like, things like Dragon Age Inquisition, to get the actual ending, you had to pay $30. And I was like, I've already paid for the game.
Mm.
Why do I have to pay more on top of it kind of thing?
And by actual ending, you mean like an expansion that came out that furthered the story?
No.
No?
Like, I mean the actual ending, because they gave sort of a half-hearted, oh, everything's done for now, and stopped at the end of Inquisition. And then you have to download Trespasser, because that has, like, the actual ending of what happened to you and your characters.
That's a crazy concept.
Yeah, well, that's actually what happened with the end of Mass Effect 3, and I think it was actually a free download that time, but so many people were unhappy with the ending that they actually had to release a DLC.
They changed it. I know, that was crazy that they went back and did that. Like, they're like, we stuffed up.
Yeah, so I would say
this is the real ending.
DLCs where you have to essentially pay to unlock the rest of the story with like things like that, I would say that those are technically pay to win, like pay to win the game.
I guess so. It depends what your definition of the game is, right?
Yeah.
Because mostly when I jump into a game, the game is the base that it offers you.
Yeah.
Any further expansions or whatever, that's not the game, the expansions on the game.
Yeah, see, my thing would sort of be like, if it's not a complete game, then they're not really expansions. Like, they're just more finishing it off for you.
Yes, and I guess that is the difference, right? Like, if you're playing a game and it's like, well, this is unfinished, and then they release DLC which finishes it, then that's a bit lame. But yeah, no, definitely you see pay to win far more often in multiplayer. You see it in MMOs constantly.
Yes.
I think MMOs almost created this, or it would either be mobile games or MMOs that really created the pay-to-win system.
I reckon it was MMOs.
I think it would have been too. Way back in the day, games like EverQuest and stuff offered pay-to-win systems, which is fine because you know how much money it costs to run a server
for
like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people? A lot.
Yeah.
So it kind of made sense that you had things like subscription models or microtransactions within MMOs. But when microtransactions first came out, it was all about pay to win.
Yeah.
Like, I remember playing, I'm trying to think of the name of the games. Stuff like RuneScape or just a whole bunch of classic MMOs where you do have to pay money in order to get, like, the best stuff. Because, you know, there'll be the free option or there'll be the pay for option. And that was pretty standard back in the day. But I feel like we've almost reached a point where people look at pay to win and they say, well, that's unnecessary. We can do better than that.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of the thing of, like, you should really be able to create content that is engaging enough that people are willing to pay for it, but not so much that they have to pay to win it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Like, it's all about intention, right? Like, imagine you playing a game and you're like, this is awesome, I want to support these developers, I'll buy this skin.
Yeah.
Versus somebody who's going, I like this game, I really want to win, so I'm going to purchase this upgrade.
And why is that fun? I never understood why that was fun. It takes all of the everything out of it.
I agree. There's like no reward to winning against somebody you're just decked out better than.
Yeah.
It's the same with CCGs, so collectible card games. The biggest flaw with those games has always been that you may go up against somebody who has all these amazing cards that you don't have a chance to buy because they buy all these card decks,
yeah.
Which means they have all this power that you can't potentially even get unless you're willing to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on the game.
Well, that was the thing. Like, I stopped playing Magic when I was quite young, and I got into it recently. I went to go and play against somebody, and they were like, I've got a deck that can beat you in 5 moves every time. And I was like, all right, but where's the fun in that?
That doesn't sound
where's
fun at
interest?
All.
Where's the interest? Where's, like, having to think things out and strategize? So I stopped playing Magic again, because yeah. I was like, I've got a terrible deck, and everybody seems just to be min-maxing.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. Imagine, like, sitting down for a game of chess, and somebody brings out, like, these... Like a super bishop or something. You're like, wait, what is this? What is a super bishop?
And I
like,
paid oh, they $50 can take... yeah, and it now attacks everyone. It's it like, just puts
what's
a
the
nuke
point
from
anymore?
Orbit.
It's yeah. like, what's why even bother playing at that point if it's not a level playing field?
Yeah, it's just it's not interesting, and it's sort of a real world model as well that I'm not particularly interested in.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's our thoughts on pay-to-win systems.
Yes.
I think globally recognizes really bad systems that can do better.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, games have proved that you can do better. You can have
just
systems that aren't pay-to-win.
Just support your local games devs.
Yeah. Support the devs who do it well, yeah. Right? Like, speak with your wallets, basically.
Throw them at the screen.
Anyway, you guys have been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. We have been talking all about pay-to-win. Sav, thank you for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And we will catch you guys next week for another Checkpoint Intimates.
Goodbye.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.